Chang-Rae Lee, On Such a Full Sea, published in The Guardian, February 2014. Dystopia is by its nature a dreary, inhospitable country. To its early explorers, it held all the excitement of discovery. And that still fills their descriptions, keeping them fresh and powerful. E.M. Forster's The Machine Stops, Yevgeny Zamyatin's We, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. But for the last 30 years or more, dystopia has been a major tourist attraction. Everybody goes there and writes a book about it. And the books tend to be alike, because the terrain is limited and its nature is monotonous. The most familiar view of it is a wild landscape, more or less catastrophically ruined or neglected, in which human settlements exist widely separated from each other and cut off from nature, other species, sometimes even the outer atmosphere. These enclaves, underground or in domes or behind walls, are human hives, controlled by government and routine, living a regimented, sheltered, safe, highly unnatural, often luxurious, utopian life. Those inside the enclaves consider those living outside them primitive, lawless, and dangerous, which they are, though they often hold the promise of freedom. So dystopia has a hero, an insider who goes outside. Chang-Rae Lee's guidebook to the country is, as one would expect from a professor of creative writing, full of ingenious variations on predictable themes, and written with such complex subtlety of point of view as to give it at least the appearance of a new understanding of the place. It follows the usual inside-outside pattern. A vague entity called the Directorate maintains two kinds of enclave. Crowded and industrious worker-class colonies produce the necessities for upper-class colonies called charters, where people live in lavish and competitive luxury. Outside these, somehow, protected zones is anarchic wilderness called the counties. The narrator guide is a first-person plural voice that represents and speaks for the people of Bemore, Baltimore, a colony of Asian ancestry workers who grow food for the charters. This wee voice is also inexplicably able to know and relate the journey and the emotions of the hero who goes outside. A good many things in the novel were inexplicable to me, such as how and when North America came to be like this, what happened to nation and religion, how raw materials are produced, and how, without trains or good highways, they manage to have coffee, gasoline, electronic devices, food in plastic pouches, neoprene suits, plastic throwaway dishes and implements, unsustainably high-tech luxuries that we of 2014 enjoy, thanks to our immense global network of industrial production. But in a broken, sporadic civilization, where does all this stuff come from? Neglect of such literal, rational questions in imaginative fiction is often excused, even legitimized, as literary license. Because the author is known as a literary writer, he will probably be granted the license he takes. But social science fiction is granted no such irresponsibility. And a novel about a future society under intense political control is social science fiction. Like Cormac McCarthy and others, Lee uses essential elements of a serious genre irresponsibly, superficially. As a result, his imagined world carries little weight of reality. The whole system is too self-contradictory to serve as warning or satire, even if towards the end of the book the narrator begins to suspect its unsubstantiality. The hero is a young woman named Fan, pregnant by a young man named Reg. Uniquely immune to the one scourge of the charter colonies and the wild counties alike, a group of fatal diseases known as C. Reg is taken away by the charters so they can study him and find the secret of his immunity. Fan then leaves her home colony and sets out to find Reg, with no idea where he is and no plan of how to get there or how to survive in the savagely unsafe and incoherent outside world. She trusts to her amazing physical prowess and her amazingly sharp wits. Maybe she just relies on being a superhero, a quality that will indeed get you safely through anything. Her superheroism is colored by a tinge of saintliness ascribed to her by the elusive first-person plural narrator, the voice of the industrious, modest, patient workers of her home hive. Perhaps she represents their virtues. I could believe in those virtues, but I could not believe in Fan. Lee's prose is suave and canny. His story flows. Events are vividly described, particularly as they verge into grotesque folktale violence and exaggeration. There are pleasant contemplative moments. Readers who find anachronism and implausibility easy to swallow will enjoy the story, and perhaps find in it the fresh vision, the new take on dreary old dystopia, that I could not.